producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. And we've had some questions about databases, so let's look at that briefly here. So we have huge amounts of data that you have collected over the years, MUFON, all this information. Are there efforts to put everything in one big place? I mean, with computer systems nowadays and advanced apps, it should be easy to stick this all in one location. What about it?
Yeah. Well, on the face of it, that's a reasonable proposal, but I invite you to consider how it looks from the vantage point of a person like me, who spent 22 years and a great deal of money collecting over 112,000 cases, or 113,000 cases now, and somebody comes along and says, we'd like your database. For no compensation, no remuneration, no thanks, and so on and so forth. And it's the human factor that's involved in that. Plus, from a technical standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, all of those reports have been collected by different systems, and that creates a problem from the standpoint of continuity or consistency. So, yeah, everybody would like access to my database. They want me to just send a copy of it to them over the Internet, and I'm not prepared to do that, and I doubt that MUFON would do that as well.
Well, we know MUFON won't do it, but the problem here is we have separate actors here collecting information with their own information database, and wouldn't there be a better chance of figuring out what's going on if we could pool our resources somehow? I understand the limitations. I understand, look, you spent your own money on this project. You just don't want to give away your work. But for the greater good, how do we get it all together and figure out what's going on?
Well, the problem is the problem we alluded to earlier, and that is trying to analyze this data through the use of computers. Again, the big hurdles are the accuracy of the data in the first place, and number two is the lack of consistency as to how it has been collected. We all have different questionnaires. On the surface of it, on the face of it, it's a reasonable proposal. It's when you get into the actual machinations of doing it that I think you quickly see that there's very little to be gained by computer analysis of UFO reports because they're so heterogeneous. And the big issue, again, is the issue of date and time. Most people, again, if it's been more than a day or two since their sighting, don't remember the date. And so trying to analyze all this data when the data is not accurate in the first place, the term, again, garbage in, garbage out comes to mind. I'm not sure there's a great deal to be gained by it.
So what do we do with it? How do we take all this stuff that's been accumulated and try to get some answers? Because right now, as far as I'm concerned, we really don't have answers. We just have loads and loads of mysteries.
I answered that question over 22 years ago with my proposal to use passive radar to detect UFOs.
I want to get into that, but go ahead.
This, exactly what you said, occurred to me 22 years ago, just a few months after I'd taken over the National UFO Reporting Center. I actually panicked, was in a panic state about January of 1995. I took over the hotline in August of 94, and when I took it over, I really didn't know what I was doing to myself and to my outlook on what reality may be, because I had no idea how much work it was going to be. When I accepted responsibility for the hotline from Bob Gribble, its founder, I assumed that I might be taking one or two or maybe three calls per week, not very many at all, easily managed. Before I knew it, I was taking one, two, or three dozen calls per day. So I was taking about two orders of magnitude more information than I assumed would be the case. In January of 1995, in fact, I can pin it down, it was the Friday before Martin Luther King weekend, I was asking myself, how could we analyze the UFO phenomenon more efficiently and using technology rather than weak eyewitness reports and fuzzy photographs? And that is when it hit me that we could use what is known as passive radar, a phenomenon that militaries have been working on for decades, to remotely detect the presence of a UFO, and not only detect its presence, but track the UFO, calculate its altitude, its velocity, maybe to a degree its size. And I wrote a paper for the MUFON Journal on the use of passive radar. I called it Meteor Communications Radar, or Meteor Detection Radar. At the time, I really didn't know what it was called in the industry. And I published an article in the MUFON Journal, and it was about 3 months before I even received a comment about the article. Here I have solved the problem of detecting UFOs, not using eyewitnesses, not using photographs, and it didn't create a stir or a ripple in all of ufology, apparently. And I've been talking about this technology, and I'll describe it here in a minute if you like.
Sure.
For 22 years, been trying to raise the funds to build a prototype. Prototypes already exist for other applications, for detecting aircraft, commercial aircraft, for detecting the trails, the ionized trails behind meteors. And I have had about zero success in generating interest, even in MUFON. July of 2008, during the MUFON symposium, I had a telephone link up with the director, the international director, and a bunch of state directors to describe the technology once again to MUFON and to offer some kind of collaboration, and it came to naught. But it turns out that as you and I are talking on this program is being radiated out, I presume, off of an antenna. And that signal, that electromagnetic signal, is being radiated in all directions.
It's more complicated than that. Really more complicated than that, Peter. The actual broadcast center sends it by satellite. It's picked up by the local stations.
Sure.
And then they broadcast them to the listeners. But we also have the show online. So anyone online with access to iTunes or tune in or goes to theparacast.com can download the episode.
Yeah.
Not so simple.
I accept that the actual administration of the program is much more complicated than I understand at this moment. However, ultimately, somewhere, sometime, the program or any other program, doesn't matter whether it's this one or a commercial radio station or television station, is broadcasting a signal off an antenna.
Exactly. That's about two dozen stations around the U.S.
For your program, but there are hundreds or thousands of radio or television stations across the United States that we could use. They broadcast a signal. It's radiated out in the form of radio or television waves. They're all the same, of course. And that electromagnetic radiation radiates in all directions, goes out in space. If, however, there's something up above that radio station that reflects radio waves, then you can build an array of antennas that will receive the reflected signal. That's what we're looking for, is the reflection of the radiated signal.
We're assuming then that UFOs, whatever they might be, and we have to break for a few moments shortly, we're assuming then that they will reflect something, not just light, that we could see them, but they will reflect something that we can detect, at least directly or indirectly, and therefore know of their presence. Am I getting it right? Don't answer now. Just hold on for a second.
We'll pick it up after the break.
We'll talk about passive radar and UFO detection systems, and I will bring up others who are trying to do some kind of UFO detection program, such as UFO data. I'm going to ask you about that after we get to cover yours. With Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center, you're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
If you're fascinated by UFOs, ancient aliens, archaeological mysteries, ghost hunting, Atlantis, and any other paranormal topic as we are, be sure to check out apmagazine.info each month. Since 1985, it has presented the latest research by top researchers like Andrew Collins, Brad Steiger, and many others, and contains interviews with such leading personalities as Jacques Vallée. Click on one of their banners and check out apmagazine.info. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a 4-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. Question on the table: with a passive detection system, we have to assume then, for the sake of argument, that UFOs are reflecting something we can detect in that way.
Yeah. Well, that's a reasonable assumption, because we know from radar visual cases that some, at least some UFOs reflect radio waves, reflect radar signals. No doubt about that whatsoever. So based on that, we know that we can detect some UFOs using a passive radar system. Let me describe one as an example for our listeners so they can understand what I'm proposing here. I live about 200 miles east of Seattle, and there's a range of mountains, the Cascade Mountains, between me and Seattle. So if I tune a radio to one of the radio or television stations in Seattle, let's use a radio station, under virtually all circumstances, I am unable to tune that radio to be able to hear that transmitted signal. One, because of the distance, and number two, because there are mountains between me and the radio transmitter or radio antenna that prevent that signal from reaching the antenna on my receiver here 200 miles east of Seattle. However, if something flies over the Cascade Mountains, an airplane, a flock of migratory birds, a metallized balloon, or something along those lines, it is in line of sight of not only the radio antenna, the radio transmitter antenna, but my and receiver antennas as well, and it will reflect that transmitted signal. So suddenly my antennas are picking up the signal from 200 miles away. I think this is pretty straightforward. Nothing complicated about this. Then what you can do, if you have an array of antennas that allow you to triangulate on the source of that reflected signal, you can track it. You can measure its location 10 or 100 times a second, and you can calculate its velocity. You can calculate its location. You can calculate, to a degree, its size, depending on the frequency of the transmitted and reflected signals. You can essentially detect something. Now, again, that something could be an airliner. It could be a satellite up outside the Earth's atmosphere. It could be a flock of migratory birds or any number of things reflect signals. This is why weather radar is very useful, because rain clouds and tornadoes and all sorts of meteorological phenomena reflect radar signals. But then you can start to discriminate. If it's moving at 500 knots and it's at 30,000 feet, it's probably an airliner. If it's at, say, 5,000 feet and it's moving at 45 miles an hour, it's probably a flock of geese. However, if it's at 50 miles above the surface of the planet and it's doing 20,000 kilometers a second and it does a right angle turn, it's probably not a Canadian goose. So that is what I've proposed. I've been talking about this phenomenon and technology for 22 years and have had essentially no interest in it. It absolutely flabbergasts and frustrates me that nobody seems to be paying attention. Most people want to continue talking about bad UFO reports and fuzzy photographs rather than doing the hard work to have a UFO detection system that would allow a person to sit in front of his computer screen and watch for actual UFOs flying in that person's proximity, say within 1,000 miles or so.
You're aware of the UFO Data Project?
I am.
Mark Roediger and Leslie Kane and
sure.
Several others?
Yeah.
So how do you feel your project might coordinate with theirs? If we're going to do this, we're going to do it somehow.
Well, they should be aware of my technology, and I'm probably remiss in not having contacted them to make sure that they're aware of my proposal. PhD scientists have contacted me and said, whoa, that's a better mousetrap, Peter. It will work. I've worked on passive radar systems before. Why they haven't included me in that community of advocates for detecting UFOs, I don't know. But again, it may be I who has been remiss in not contacting them. I've been aware of their project for several months now. I just haven't sent them a communication to apprise them of my technology, but they should be aware of it. I've been talking about it for 22 years. In 2004, I lectured on the technology. I devoted my whole presentation before the MUFON symposium in Denver, July of 2004, to this subject. If they're not aware of the technology that I've proposed, they may not be paying too close attention to the UFO field.
Why assume anything? Why don't you, and this is your assignment, should you decide to accept it, contact them, tell them what you have, give them a couple of references, maybe they could look it up, and see if there's a way to coordinate efforts, because right now nothing's happening. You made this proposal years ago, it's not being picked up. And they're making a proposal for which they'd like donations to set up UFO detection systems. Now, obviously, theirs doesn't read to me like passive radar, but I'm not an engineer. It doesn't matter. If someone's trying to do something, don't you think we all have to work together?
I've already proposed it to MUFON. I think several of those people are probably members of MUFON. They get the MUFON Journal. I've published two articles on the subject for MUFON. But your point is well taken. And as I prefaced by this at this remark, I'm probably remiss in not having communicated with them. Right now, I'm in overwhelmed condition. I work two shifts a day, 7 days a week, for no pay, to process the flow of reports that are coming to me and to get them posted so people can share in them.
Yes, but right now, and I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, all those reports aren't doing anything for anyone. It's just a source of information.
Oh, you've got. I disagree.
Well, all right, but what is being done to take that information and bring us to some answers? Just having 100,000 sightings, where is that taking us?
Well, for one thing, you haven't talked to the people who call the hotline and say, boy, you don't know how relieved I am, Mr. Davenport, for me to be able to read a report in which a person describes something very similar to what I just saw 10 minutes ago.
Okay, so we're basically making people feel good about their sightings. Oh, I'm not alone. All these people have reported things. Here's all the data. That's fine. So we make people feel better they're not alone in having experiences of this nature. But at this point, from what you're telling me, this data is very imperfect, very incomplete, because we can't get everything together because of the imprecision of human observation. The only way to get answers, more than likely, is to have some way to catch UFOs in the act, unless they do something overt to make their existence known in a way they can't be denied, and we find out what they are. I'm going to ask you to have that answer and hold on for just a second. Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center is joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he's making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylin Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I raise the devil's advocate question here. Peter Davenport, the National UFO Reporting Center. I know you have a response.
Yeah, of course I do. Your question is a good one, and I have a good answer for you. We can do everything you advocate if we have a staff and a budget. Do you have a staff and budget for us?
I don't have a staff and budget for me.
I'm in the same condition, Gene. You've just addressed, you've gone to the heart of the issue. Everything I've done over the last 22 years at the National UFO Reporting Center, almost everything has been funded almost exclusively by me, with the exception of a few honoraria, a few grants from generous organizations, and so on. I've been fundraising continuously, or attempting to raise funds, for 22 years. The only problem with that is I've been unsuccessful in having done so. I've been to four billionaires. I've been to a number of organizations. I've been to a number of universities requesting some kind of support, whatever they want, even if it's just setting up a section in their university library dedicated to UFOs. I've had zero success. I've been to Bigelow, I've been to Gates, I've been to Allen, I've been to Rockefeller, and I don't know what these people are thinking. They profess interest in UFOs. However, they don't seem to be willing to make even a small amount of money available that would allow us to vastly, vastly increase our capability and our scope of activities. So your question is a good one, and it's very readily stated and easily stated. My response is, if you think that we could be doing more, provide me with the resource that will allow me to do it.
But you won't give it off to a scientific organization who contacted you and said, look, we don't have a lot of money, but we've got eager beavers who are willing to go through your data and try to find something. Would you give it to them?
Well, would you give your archives to the next person who contacts you and wants control of them?
The archives are freely available to download.
And all of my data is available on the website for people to share in. But I would like to know the details of how the data will be used, how it will be protected, how the identities of the people who submitted the data will be protected so they're not featured in a front page article in a major newspaper. That's the special responsibility I have. MUFON has the same responsibility. But your point is a good one, but I again invite you to consider the human factor involved. People, after they've spent 22 years of their lives, in my case, and a great deal of their treasury to collect the data, are not willing to just give it away willy-nilly to the first person who saunters by and says, I want that database.
I understand they have to do a lot of legwork and make steps to protect the people. But when you come to an organization like MUFON that has hundreds, thousands of people who are paid members, field investigators, they're not doing a thing with their data. Forget about you. You're one lone actor.
Oh, they are.
MUFON is doing nothing that I could see. What is MUFON doing to put that together and figure out what's going on? What do they know about UFOs that they didn't know in 1969?
I think MUFON is doing a great job with informing the public of what's going on. The first step in any scientific process or investigation is first to collect data. Now, how much we can do with that data and how convincing it may be to some people, I cannot predict, but they're doing exactly what any scientist should be doing, and that is assessing what's going on out there. If you have a theory that all fish are golden trout, the first thing you have to do is go in to a lake or any body of water and start fishing and capturing fish to test your theory. You quickly discover that not all fish are golden trout. There are other types of fishes, as an example. I cite that as a fisheries biologist.
Okay, but MUFON has been around 47 years with this data, all right? And there's still a basic operating theory that they work under.
Yep.
That's implicit, which is that UFOs are probably visitors from other planets.
Mm-hmm.
But what have they done to be able to advance this theory to provide more information and evidence? I don't see it being there. I see they're collecting information, they're publicizing it, they're holding conferences with plus or minus with the quality of guests. I don't think they're going anywhere at all. And that's my criticism of them.
Yeah.
After 47 years, show me something.
Well, they're limited by budget, as am I. And I've just described what we could do to do precisely what you've just described. Take it to a new level. Passive radar does that. It takes the eyewitness out of the link of data. It puts photographs on the shelf. Most photos of UFOs are not very good. In fact, I estimate that only about 1 out of 1,000 photographs sent to the National UFO Reporting Center is of any value or use or interest at all. But passive radar will do exactly what you say.
Let me move on. I'm being a devil's advocate here, but understand where I'm going. We're trying to figure things out. So theoretically, then, we set up passive radar tomorrow. Someone says, okay, Peter, here's $1 million, whatever it takes. You could pretty much take all your data that you've accumulated so far and stick it in the drawer and start all over again, because that's what you have to do. You're setting up a program to detect UFO activity and figure out what's going on, but that doesn't reference what's already there. It's starting something new from scratch.
Yeah, it is. It's a new, you've just proposed, how do we take it to a new level? That's going to a new domain, Gene. That's exactly what I want to do.
So therefore,
graduate from collecting eyewitness reports to having a radar detection system that will tell us when a UFO is in proximity of the detection system and what its size is, what its velocity is. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to take it to a new level. It may make all the data we've collected obsolete, but that would be fine with me.
Okay, now, if we're detecting the activity, will we have things like cameras, movie cameras, other sensors to get the visual information?
Yeah, I wrote an article on precisely that question. All you have to do is slave the passive radar system to a cinetheodolite, that is a movie camera that is on a gimbaled tripod, and be able to point the camera in the direction of the object, and you stand a chance of capturing it on film. But again, photographs are not terribly convincing. Photographs directed or taken by a passive radar system would be a step in the right direction. But I've proposed what I feel is the solution to the question mark about UFOs. Are they real or are they not? Clearly they are from my vantage point. Now I want to prove it, and I've proposed the use of technology that could satisfy that question. And I'm not sure many people are paying attention.
Now, I assume a system like this would be designed to consider possible false positives.
Well, I don't understand. Yeah, there would be many false positives. You would detect airliners, you would detect satellites, you would detect migratory birds. And there are two stages in radar. One is the first stage is detection. The second stage is discrimination. What have you detected? Is it of any interest to the system? And that's what's is very easily done with computers and modern electronics. It's only been the last 10, at most 20 years, that private citizens have had access to the kind of computer power you need to be able to do what I've advocated. There are a number of passive radar systems in use today. In fact, the British air traffic control system is proposing going to a passive radar system because it's much more reliable and much more accurate than the active radar systems when they generate a beam and send it out out to detect targets in the vicinity of the transmitter.
Let's do our break, and we'll come back for the final segment with Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Today, more than ever, it's imperative that you protect your digital privacy. EDEC Digital Forensics Signal Blocking Anti-Radiation Anti-Surveillance Faraday Bags shield the contents of your phones, tablets, and key fobs from 4G, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, NFC, and more. Find us at edecdf.com/radio or call us now at 805-222-4584. That's 805-222-4584. Radio listeners get 20% off your order.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Peter Davenport at the National UFO Reporting Center. We're talking about his proposal for a passive radar UFO detection system, some way to catch them in the act. And just to put this in the overview before we go on to some final questions, as our listeners know, Chris O'Brien has the San Luis Valley Camera Project setting up a network of cameras to record unusual activity. We have the UFO Data Project from Mark Roediger, Leslie Kane, and others. They're trying to set up their project. And maybe through all this, something can be done. But I understand your frustration here. You have a great idea to do something 22 years ago. The technology has reached a point now where it becomes far more affordable, but when you try to generate interest, it's crickets. Let's just leave it be there for those who want to know. We'll have our listeners contact you, and I'll ask that in a moment. Let's look at UFOs and theories and events very quickly before we let you go. Now, obviously, one very, very controversial aspect of the UFO phenomenon is abductions. And last week we featured Whitley Strieber, and we've had other discussions with Kathleen Marden and others about abductions. Now, if abductions are real, wouldn't that be a first-hand way of getting a hold of some evidence? But all we really have, for the most part, are just a bunch of claims. What do you think?
What do you define as evidence?
Some people claim to have alien implants or have other possible physical interactions with aliens. So how do we evaluate claims of this sort?
Okay, let's start with Travis Walton. In my opinion, the Travis Walton case competes with the Phoenix Lights event as being the most dramatic, well-documented case in the history of ufology. He was hit with a beam of light that rendered him unconscious, possibly even dead, in front of six witnesses. That's pretty good evidence. The only thing I would wish for is that one of those six witnesses in the International Harvester truck had a camera or a movie camera. I regret that they didn't get hard evidence. The other case I would cite, and I've talked about it until I'm blue in the face, and very few people are aware of it, is the death of Todd Sees. It's an event that occurred back in 2002. It was Sunday, August 4th, 2002. People can read the reports on our website. A man went up on a mountain in south central Pennsylvania on an all-terrain vehicle, ATV. The next thing anybody knew, at least four witnesses were watching a man's body being levitated off the top of the mountain where Todd Sees was known to have gone into a saucer-shaped, metallic-looking craft hovering above the top of that mountain. The man's body, clad only in undergarments, was taken, allegedly taken into the craft. Well, that's the prelude to a long series of events that involved a manhunt involving 200 or 250 people looking for him. And 40 hours after the sighting, reported by several people, his remains were found suspended in a tree or heavy underbrush. Richard Dolan and I and Travis Walton are all familiar with this case. We've looked into it. So we have evidence, very good evidence, that a man possibly was taken up into a saucer and his grossly mutilated remains were found 40 hours later. I don't know what stronger evidence a person would need with regard to the abduction phenomenon. And in this case, tragically, involved not only an abduction, but an apparent death and mutilation. Are you familiar with the case?
I've heard about possible human mutilations, yes.
Well, the Todd Sees case, it's a very, very dramatic case. I've talked to the coroner who did the autopsy. He admitted that the autopsy was done. It was a very strange case. We have witnesses that testified to the fact that the man was being, apparently the very man whose remains were later found, was being taken up into a saucer-shaped craft. So I cite this case, Chris, just to point out that we do have good cases, and we've published them, posted them, shared them on radio and television programs, and most people still are not aware of them.
I think part of the problem we're dealing with here is that most people, I don't say PowerCast listeners because we have a really dedicated, brilliant group of people who listen to the show. We have well over 100,000 listeners overall around the world. I don't even know the numbers because the show just goes far and wide everywhere. But most people who hear about UFOs, they see the reality shows, they think it's all a bunch of entertainment. It's X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's just X-Files. It's nothing real. And we could watch that show, scroll past the commercials if we want, get on with our business of trying to survive in the 2016 economy. We don't want to get into all the world craziness that's going on right now. But I could see why people are, as a practical matter, interested in UFOs as a curiosity, as a source of entertainment. But very, very few people are interested in UFOs to go beyond that. I mean, you have like the International UFO Congress near Phoenix is going to be happening this weekend. If they get 1,000 people, it's going to be a miracle. A lot of people. If you go to a Comic-Con where you can see the stars of the next Star Wars movie or Star Trek or Supergirl or Flash or Arrow, they'll get 30,000 people, 50,000. It's amazing. Comic-Con, you get plenty of people. But if we're dealing with something that may be real, people being kidnapped by something, killed by something, strange objects in the sky from who knows where, from whatever origin, very, very few people are dedicated enough to explore what's happening. And quite often when they do, it's because they've had the experience. They've seen something, or a friend has seen something. They have a point where they are dedicated enough to want to follow it through. Otherwise, the rest of us just don't care. We only have a minute left. You want to give a response, Peter?
Yeah, briefly, I agree with you. It's a tragedy that humans in today's world are more predisposed to believe and consume imaginary events rather than pay attention to reality and to objectively collected information. It's the bane of my existence trying to call to the attention of the American people and other humans around the world that we appear to be being visited on a routine basis by these things we call UFOs. And it bothers me that people get most of their UFO information from the television. My recommendation to people who want information about UFOs is to, the first step is cut the plug off your television cord. That's the first step. And then start reading, not nattering and chit-chatting about the UFO phenomenon or consuming movies or programs, but read reports and consider them and ruminate on them. That's the best thing to do, in my opinion.
Where can they find more information about what you do?
They can just go to the website. It's been there for almost 20 years, ufocenter.com, ufocenter.com. And if they've ever, at any time in their life, whether it be 8 minutes ago or 8 decades ago, seen a UFO, I would encourage them to take a few minutes to record the event. That means writing it down and submitting a report using our online report form at ufocenter.com.
You can find more information about the Paracast on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. Join either one. Join both. We don't care. We just want you to get involved. You can also check out our second radio show after the Paracast. And to do that, you've got to be a member of the Paracast Plus for a modest subscription fee. We also offer the ad-free version of this show. We kill all the network ads, give you higher quality audio. We've got show transcripts. We even have videos and more to come. We're really putting something together here that the listeners who've joined love it. We think you will, too. Go to plus.theparacast.com to learn more about the Paracast Plus. We get free ebooks for long-term memberships. What can you lose? Try it month to month, by the year, by the 5 years, for a lifetime. Coming up, the 10th anniversary show of the Paracast. Peter Davenport, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It's been a delight, and I'm honored by the invitation. I hope I've shared some information of interest with our audience today.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese, featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.